And get in this afternoon. I actually, you know me, but I think we're going to be a little bit shorter than normal. So I hope to be anyways, because you usually wind up sleeping on the Sunday afternoons after all that sugar in your system anyhow. So, but I don't necessarily intend to blow your ears out or anything like that. But I do want to give you these last three mysteries on the Sunday afternoons. Go to Revelation chapter 17 for starters, if you would. And these Sunday afternoons, we've been looking at the mysteries. And I'll remind you, for those of you that may not have heard or don't know, haven't been with us for the series, the Bible says that a minister is supposed to be faithful with the mysteries of God. And unfortunately, I believe in most churches today, the ministers are not faithful to teach you the mysteries. And the reason is that the mysteries, the ones that we've even looked at already, aren't very, they're not very politically correct. If I'm going to teach you and be faithful to teach you the mysteries of God, then I'm going to have to teach you on the Roman Catholic Church. I'm going to have to show you who the Antichrist is, and I'm going to have to tell you that the Pope is the man that whoever happens to be the Pope at the time will be the vessel the devil will use. And that's very, very, very unpopular. But it's Bible truth. It's Bible truth that's literally sparked the Reformation. Seen thousands and tens of thousands and scores and scores and scores of souls saved and churches established all over the world. And so you're not going to find very many ministers who are faithful with the mysteries, but if I'm going to be a faithful minister, then I got to be faithful with the mysteries. And so you need to know what those mysteries are. And I'm not going to spend too much time on the first one or the second one, really. I want to get to the third one tonight or this afternoon, because we've already covered these pretty extensively in our Revelation series, all right? But starting in Revelation chapter 17, look at verse number 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. 13 words. And you'll notice it's Mystery Babylon the Great. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. All right, so we went through this as we went through our Revelation series, but skip down to verse number 18. The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Let's pray before we go any farther. Father, I love you this afternoon. I thank you for your church. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the book. Thank you for the good fellowship in this place, the good spirit here today. And Lord, in spite of the weather being a little down, we still had a full house this morning, and that's a real blessing. And I pray now this afternoon that you'd give us what we need from the Word of God and encourage our hearts and help us to grab a hold of these truths and just learn a little bit more about you, about your Word, how it applies to us, how we can please you in the world in which we're living. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, so Mystery Babylon the Great, verse 9. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. See that? The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. So you know very obviously what mystery this is. This is mystery number 5, and it's Mystery Babylon the Great. And as I already taught you in Revelation, and if you need to kind of go back over it, you can go back to our Revelation series and pick Revelation chapter 17 and get a little bit more of an in-depth teaching on it. But this is Rome. It's very obvious that that woman in verse 5, the abomination of harlots, she's a city, and she reigns over the kings of the earth. That is the Roman Catholic Church. As I showed you as we went through the series, there's seven different distinct kingdoms throughout world history, culminating in the final kingdom being Rome when Christ was crucified, right? And that actual kingdom, real, legitimate kingdom, transferred into a spiritual kingdom when the kingdom of God, a spiritual kingdom, came into effect. Satan always copycats everything that God does. So you have Mystery Babylon the Great. You know what you are? You and I are the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen angels, preaching to the world, all that kind of deal. So the devil also has a mystery, and it's Mystery Babylon the Great. The reason why this thing is not normally understood by people is in verse number 9. Here is the mind that hath wisdom. Well, to be honest with you, people are lacking biblical wisdom in this day and age. You can have worldly wisdom without having biblical wisdom. Those are not the same thing. The wisdom that is from above is peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, but the wisdom that's below, from below is earthly, sensual, and devilish. There is a worldly wisdom, and be careful about worldly wisdom because it will make a lot of sense to you. You will think and feel you're hearing the right thing, but it can be very worldly. And I know in your guts it don't always set right for somebody to get up and say that the Roman Catholic Church is the great whore, and she's a mother of harlots. She's a filthy, abominable, ungodly, wicked religious system that rules and reigns over the kings of the earth. It's funny to me the level of authority that the Pope has. The fact that you have this church, it's a church that has its own government, its own nation, its own military, and has a right to be seated there at the United Nations. How does a church considered a nation? How is it a nation state, a church? That thing just blows my mind. And people look at it and just don't ever see the truth of the Word of God. They can't possibly grab a hold of it because it's a supernatural thing. And Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of Christ, should shine unto them. And so they got everybody deceived and blinded. Listen, I don't think that we should be a bunch of purposefully hack and unprofessional and dirty and all that kind of thing. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about our buildings and our facilities and the way we present ourselves. I don't think really there's any honor in being proud of being uneducated. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying that you should be highly educated. What I'm saying is I don't think there's any honor in having a preacher says, I might not know much, but I know Jesus. Okay. I don't think there's any honor in that. I don't think we should present ourselves that way as Christians. But here's the thing. Most people get automatically deceived by the fact that they're highly educated. Most people get automatically deceived by the feeling you get when you walk into a great, big, beautiful cathedral and there's obviously tons and tons of money there. And they obviously care about the facilities and they present it very professionally and they come across very smooth and it feels like a very worshipful, very religious experience. So nobody steps back to look at it and evaluate it from the Word of God and say, what is this? I'm telling you what it is. It's a mystery. It's a wicked mystery. It's a mystery where throughout history they crucified, killed, tortured, hunted down, and tried to annihilate people like you and I who believe the truth of the Word of God, who stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and who call them out for their sin. And what we need in these days, if a man's going to be faithful, I don't care what kind of impact it has on the size of the church. If we're going to be faithful, we got to expose and teach and be faithful stewards of the mysteries of God. And so we do need and we will need and need to continue being on preaching the truth and calling a spade and pointing out false religion and calling them down. And by the grace of God, I'll do that. How many of you know who Ian Paisley is? You guys ever hear Ian Paisley? Probably three or four of you in here. He's a Presbyterian from Ireland. And he is the closest thing you could actually look up and listen to today to like a Martin Luther. He started, I think, the Free Presbyterian Church or something like that. And he went to battle against the Pope and against Catholicism. And I remember in all my time at Bob Jones, I was sitting there in those chapels. And man, it was absolute torture. I mean torture. The guy behind, I mean, growing up in a Bible-believing church and around Bible-believing preachers that rightly divided the word of truth and then winding up sitting in that great big old sanctuary they had on campus. And every preacher they got in that pulpit was a Greek this and Hebrew that and highly educated. You know, back in the day they're wearing the dresses and all that stuff. You know, the choir's wearing dresses and all that. And man, I'd sit there after growing up on stuff like Dr. Noe, Dr. Ruckman. I mean, I'd sit there and I learned how to sit in my chair and sleep with my head up. Because, you know, college, you're tired, man. You know, you're always tired, just exhausted all the time. Working full time, school, got to study. And of course, you got all your friends there and you got to hit the gym and you got to do this and you got to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting there, man, I just fall dead asleep with my head up. Those guys' voices have just put me to sleep. Mm-hmm. Of all my time there and all the chapel services I sat in, one preacher, a Presbyterian preacher, showed up and started preaching, and I was mesmerized. And it was Ian Paisley. I had no idea who he even was or what I was even listening to. I grew up in Independent Baptists, and that was that. We didn't even ever consider any kind of a Presbyterian. That meant nothing to me, nothing. But that man, as much as I might not agree with most of his doctrine, he does believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if I'm remembering correctly, I think he's a King James man. And he get up to preach, and boy, he let it rip, man. He preached against that Roman Catholic whore, and he called the Pope the Antichrist and the whole nine yards, and he suffered persecution for it. That man could preach, and I'll never forget it. You know what it was? He was a faithful minister of Jesus Christ, and no matter what it cost him, he stood up against the Catholic Church, and God honored his preaching, and he had a tremendous impact and influence because of his preaching, because of him being a faithful minister of Jesus Christ with the mystery that I'm showing you right now. It's Mystery Babylon the Great. Don't ever be deceived by that church. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. What bothers me more than anything in the world is when saved people that know the truth and believe the Word of God begin compromising when it comes to the Roman Catholic Church. And it's like, well, the Roman Catholics are good people. I never said they're not. No, I have some friends that are good Roman Catholic people. And they are good Roman Catholic people, hardworking people. Far as I know, they're faithful to each other, and they got good kids and the whole nine yards and, you know, good folks. Fine, moral, upstanding, decent individuals. Okay, so what does that have to do with the truth? There's lots of good people that don't understand the truth. I'm not attacking Roman Catholics. I absolutely hate that system. I hate that church and I hate the doctrine because they damn good people to hell for eternity with a false doctrine. It's a wicked mystery, and you might not look at it and see it as a mystery because it's an established church. And then, you know, our strike comes along and we could care less about any, you know, taking care of the building. Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just a church. The church is the people. The church isn't the building. And we wonder why we don't have a little bit more credibility than we have. Yeah. We're not going to use God's money that way. Well, God bless you, because you just voted to use a bunch of God's money to help upgrade the facilities. And for lost people, when they got that option right up the road with some credibility when they first look at it, versus, oh, they don't care because we just weren't and just not use God's money that way. Well, no wonder we're not reaching more people, right? Yeah. But don't ever let the money or the facilities deceive you. You better sit there and evaluate the truth based on the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, are you there? Look at verse number 2. Here's mystery number 6. So mystery number 5 is mystery Babylon the Great. Mystery number 6 is the mystery of iniquity. 1 Thessalonians 2:2. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile. But we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, and as not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others. But when we had been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle unto you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children, so being affectionately desirous of you, we are willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. You're looking at a faithful man who is faithful with the mysteries. You see what he's doing? No matter what, I'm going to give you the truth. 2 Thessalonians, please, chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Watch this. So what Paul was is faithful. He is telling them, I'm going to give you the truth, and you know it, and with much contention. Have a lot of people against us, a lot of people pushing back on us, a lot of people falsely accusing us, a lot of people telling us we're cultists and all the rest of that stuff. The biggest cult in the world, you know what it is? I'm sorry. You want to really see people get contentious and angry, biggest cult in the world is the Roman Catholic Church. The most accepted, with the most credibility. But it's a cult. Anytime you put a man over God, or you follow a man, not God, that's a cult. A religion based on an authority that can override the Word of God. And they say, you go to a cult. How do you figure? I mean, how do you figure? You might not like what we stand for, or you might not like the way we preach, but how do you figure it's a cult when our pastor has never one time told us he's perfect, never one time told us he's the authority? I've apologized publicly from this pulpit whenever I've messed up. And if God has so asked me to do so, by the grace of God, I'll plan on doing it again. I hope I don't have to apologize much, because I want my behavior to be right. But I've publicly apologized. when I'm wrong. Because I'm not the standard. That doesn't hurt my ministry. A cult leader won't get up there and tell you he's ever wrong. He'll point you to him. I'm not here to point you to me. To be honest with you, I mean, I want you to have a good opinion of me. I want you to think the world of me, to be honest with you, okay? I really do. I'm very concerned about my testimony. But at the same time, your opinion of me don't matter. At the same time, you say, that's two different things. Yes, it is. You're right. But your opinion of me don't matter. I want you to think a lot of Jesus. I want to show you the authorities, the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. Verse 1, let's start in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, that the day of Christ is at hand, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know that what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery, see it, of iniquity doth already work. Huh? In that time, it was already working. It's the spirit of Antichrist. The mystery of iniquity is the mystery of the Antichrist. And his spirit, I think it's 1 John, there's that spirit's already in the world. That he that won't confess that Christ is coming in the flesh, that's Antichrist. So you've got a lot of religions out there now that will not confess that Christ has come in the flesh. Oh, well, we're all trying to get to the same place. Well, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, then you're Antichrist. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, then you're Antichrist. I don't care if it is a great big megachurch pastor from Texas who has a huge TV audience. Well, I won't say that Jesus is the only way. That's Antichrist. Because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But there's a ton of credibility there. I mean, look at the building. Look at the reputation. Look at how many people listen. Look at the audience. But is it Bible? So that's an Antichrist spirit. That scares the fire out of me because that's supposedly evangelical giving you the gospel. There's a wicked spirit at work and a great falling away happening. To the point where when I talk like I'm talking nowadays, most of the Christians, if they tune in, are like, what do you mean? Why would any born-again person that claims to believe the Bible have one problem with what I'm saying? It's the truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You have a problem with that. And if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God and is the Son of God and is the Savior of the world, plus nothing, minus nothing, no other way, and you claim you're a Christian. Some kind of a weird spirit's going on, man. You can't tell we're all trying to get to the same place. All roads, you know, you have your way and I have my way, but they all culminate in the same point. No, they don't. No, there's one way. I don't have my way. It's not Mike Reagan's way. It's the way is Jesus Christ. The truth and the life is Jesus Christ. The truth and the way is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, period. This spirit's a wicked spirit and it already works in the world, but he's telling us when you get closer to the end, it's going to accelerate. A great falling away is taking place. All of a sudden, massive amounts of people begin listening to and being influenced by that spirit. It's what he said in Timothy, they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They will not endure sound doctrine. That means like you have to sit there and endure it. You ever have a hard time getting through a church service? Well, then maybe I'm a decent pastor. Sound doctrine. They won't endure it. They don't want to hear it. They won't put up with it. You're just stinking, tick them off, boy. I just don't know why you have to be that way. Well, because I'm going to answer to God. And because we're not falling prey to this spirit, there's a spirit moving in this world, folks, and it's trying to drag you away from the truth. And so we do put a lot of emphasis on doctrine. And then we try never to forget, by the goodness and grace and help of God, we try never to forget to make an application to your life. You see, that's where I become a preacher. People like teaching nowadays. I told somebody recently, I said, I kind of wish I was more of a teacher. Because nowadays, I mean, there's some good Bible-believing guys that rightly divide the word of truth and are King James only and give you the truth and are just teachers. And they're really, really good at it and really brilliant. And people love that. It's kind of like towards the end here, I mean, knowledge increases, right? So if the devil's trying to increase knowledge, according to the book of Daniel, the Antichrist is going to increase knowledge, the Lord will do the same thing.
Right.
So he raises up some preachers and some teachers that actually give you some good knowledge, but since the masses of people don't want that kind of knowledge, their ministries are real small and usually hard to find. Yeah. So the Lord will lead people to them. I really wish I was more of a teacher. I feel like if I had a real gift to teach, you know, we'd probably have double the attendance we got. But you know what God made me? God called me to do? The one guy I said it to, he said, "That ain't you, man. You're a preacher."
Yep.
I'm like, "Yeah, I know." So I try to give you teaching, but I always got to make that application to your life. Nowadays, they want teachers having itch in ears. Just tell me more. Make me smarter. Make me more. Make me more. Honestly, what good does it do you? Think about this for a minute. What good does it do you to know that victory in Jesus is off because it says streets? Isn't that what the victory in Jesus? Yeah, it says streets of gold. And since you're a Bible believer, you know there's a street that leads straight to the throne of God. Amen?
Amen.
That's important, I think. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What good does it do you if you have all that knowledge, but you are dried up and useless, and you haven't won a soul to Christ in 10 years, and you can't get a prayer past the ceiling, and you don't have charity, and you aren't sweet and kind, and you're implacable. Been in church for 20 years, know it all, and you're the exact same you were last year, and the year before, and the year before that. You're not growing in grace, you're not getting any closer to Jesus Christ. What good is all that doctrine doing you? See, I'm asking God to help me, folks. I'm begging God, and you all must be praying for me too. Please don't stop, because God's working on me. I want to give you good doctrine and be faithful with the mysteries and preach it straight and get you grounded and settled in good doctrine. And I want to apply it to your life and my life. I want the Bible to change us. I want to be as tough as nails and straight as an arrow and have the sweetest spirit God can give a Christian. Don't you? Be charitable, man. But you got a world there, they don't care about that. It's a spirit of Antichrist.
Right.
It's got to start with doctrine. You got to get your doctrine straight. And what doctrine could be more important than the doctrine of Christ?
Yeah.
Isn't that the doctrine it all hinges on?
Yeah.
Mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. Then shall that, see it? You see the capital W?
Yeah.
That's your sixth mystery. It's the mystery of iniquity. It's the Antichrist. It's a name for an individual. You say, why doesn't God make it plainer? Because they're mysteries. You got to search the scriptures. You got to study to show yourself approved unto God. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still sought out and set in order many proverbs. Right? He made them mysteries. He wants you to dig for them. And the devil's trying to shroud himself. He doesn't want you to know who he is. Listen to me. He doesn't want you to know when he's working. Satanists don't believe in a literal person of Satan. You knew that, right? You know what Satanists really believe and really worship? Yep. That's what they say. They're actually worshiping the devil. But what they believe they're worshiping is themselves. And pleasure, and education, and humanity. It's so demonic, it's not even funny. It's the eyes of Lucifer's very spirit. I will, I will, I will, I will. And then he's infusing into them that same spirit where they're worshiping themselves. Ha, 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 funny, funny. But what they don't realize they're even doing is worshiping him. He's wiser than Daniel. Second to Jesus Christ, the most brilliant entity in the universe is Lucifer himself, according to the Bible. That's mind-blowing. So don't you think he knows what he's doing? So that's why I say, Jesus says not to worry about the times that the Father hath put in his own power, right? And then the Antichrist comes to cheat, seeks to change times and seasons. And then I showed you the difference a couple weeks ago or last week or whatever on the Jewish calendar versus the Julian versus the Gregorian, which was brought in the, what was it, the 1300s or the 1500s? I think 1300s or whatever, by Pope Gregory the 13th. And that calendar doesn't match up. We don't know where we're at.
Right.
Why? Because God's working and so is Lucifer.
Right.
And he said that wicked's going to be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. All right, go back to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Look at verse 4. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. Wait a minute. We just saw mystery Babylon, right? The great, the mother of harlots. Now we're looking at an actual king, the king of Babylon. It was an actual place, an actual city, right? So when God's using the Bible, he's speaking to an actual individual in history, and he's prophesying at the same time. And the only way we figure out that that's a prophecy is by going into the New Testament and looking back at the Old Testament prophecies by what the New Testament said. I heard it said this way. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. It's a powerful, powerful thing the way God wrote this book and folded that thing together. So what he's doing is he's prophesying to an actual king of an actual city, and at the same time he's telling you about the mystery Babylon the Great. He's talking to an actual king in the Old Testament, and he's prophesying to a spirit inside that king and giving you the prophecy of what's coming in the future with the Antichrist. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's very clear as we go through here, you'll see what I'm talking about. So it says, take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. The golden city. You remember when we did the study through Revelation? I showed you the colors of the church, the Roman Catholic Church, the golden cup and the golden chalice. And that when you go in there and you start looking up, and I think I read it to you, there are requirements for the golden chalice. It's a doctrinal requirement. That it's got to be gold and this much gold and that much. And if it's a more poverty-stricken area, here's the exceptions you can make. But here's how much gold still has to be in it. It's a golden city. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He that rebelled the nations in ruled the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. You see that? When the Lord shows up and makes this thing right, I had some passages to show you this morning that I just didn't have time to get to. You know, in the millennium, all the nations are going to be singing praises to God. Could you imagine stepping outside and all the way around the entire earth, because there's going to be unity. So I'm almost positive when I think it was Psalm 100 and the other one was Psalm 149. You can go read them later. Could you imagine stepping out the front door and having the Spirit of God move through the whole thing, just blow through the earth like that, and everybody at one time begins singing the same song of praise to Jesus Christ and just hearing it just reverberating around the stinking globe, man. Singing, boy. It's going to be a good time. But that happens when he shows up and puts something down. All right, the Lord broke the staff. Where were we at? Whole earth is at rest. Verse 7, that's got to be the millennium. And is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller has come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee. Even all the chief ones of the earth it hath raised up from their thrones, all the kings of the nations. All they that speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. You see that? The noise of thy vials. He's an instrumental being. He's a musical being. Look at this. Do you guys remember, was it last Sunday night, talking about them devolving in the lake of fire?
Yeah.
Look at this. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Ain't that something? Look at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? You see that? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And they give you an iPhone and an iPad and a Facebook and a YouTube, and you're telling me there's not a bad spirit about that. You're telling me there's not a subtle demonic spirit about it. Isn't that interesting? Selfies. What is the essence of Satanism? Worship and self. A better you. Better humanity without Jesus. So then you let your kids play with these. We banned them. You let them play with these filters. These photos that, you know, take you and upgrade you. But that's disgusting. That don't even look like you. Stop playing with that. I want that deleted. Really? You know why? That ain't right. First of all, I think my daughters are beautiful just like they are. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank God they look like their mom. Amen. Second of all, why are you trying to be a god? Why are you trying to erase any piece of humanity? You know what every last one of you in this room's got? I love you. Is it all right? We okay?
Yeah.
You all got flaws. Every one of you. None of you are, you're not supposed to look like some kind of a god, some kind of a statue.
Right.
That stuff's demonic. We're going to make you better. We're going to, you know, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Gods, knowing. Artificial intelligence. You got to know it all, and you got to know it fast, and you got to know it faster and faster and faster and faster. I got a call from a guy who's a student at the Michigan State this week. And he's like, man, what's going on with this stuff about Elon Musk, and is he the Antichrist or what? And he's talking about embedding chips in our heads to connect us to computers so that we can process the same information at 10 times the speeds or whatever, more like a computer. And like, he's like, what's going on with all this? Kind of all shook up. And I said, I don't think Elon Musk is the Antichrist. I think he's just a tool. Yeah, for sure the Antichrist is using all that stuff. But it's the eye. You see all the eyes in there? I emphasized it on purpose. Look at verse 16. Verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. God says, look upon all them that are proud and abase them. Can you do it? Because he will. That's what he said in Job. Verse 16. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this, look at it. See it? Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? That Lucifer in verse 12 is referred to in verse 16 as the man. In 2 Thessalonians, it's that wicked. Do you remember how I told you how he's going to imitate the Trinity and making 3-1? Remember that? He's going to step into the Antichrist. He's going to step into the Pope. More than likely, the spirit of Judas comes up and enters him, and the demonic spirit, the dragon, Lucifer himself, comes down. The best explanation I heard of it was from Dr. Ruckman. Lucifer, the dragon, comes down and morphs into a man and enters into him, and they're 3-1. And he's a man ruling the earth. And God says he's going to bring him down. Now, here's what's weird and what you need to know. We don't make too much out of the King James Bible in this church. People think we do. We don't make too much out of it.
Right.
He's an extremist. Okay, well, as long as I'm extreme on the right thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's extreme, but look at it. He says in verse 12, O Lucifer, son of the morning, right? That's important. You know what what Lucifer means? It means light bearer. He was a singing light bearer. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, please. 2 Corinthians 11. We're going to stop with this one because I got another one, and the last one I'm just not going to get to and get you out early, like I said. So, 2 Corinthians 11. Lucifer means light bearer. Look at verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. See that? They come presenting Jesus and talking about Jesus. It says, and no marvel. He's like, What shock is that? That there's preachers transforming themselves into ministers of Christ. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of
light.
Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You mean there's preachers standing in pulpits that are transformed from what they actually are into being representatives of Lucifer, the light bearer. And what's his goal? His goal is to blind their minds. That's why it's so important you get into a church where the lights are on. And you can open up your Bible like we've been preaching on Sunday morning, and you can look at the references and you can prayerfully say, okay, Lord, that's it. That's right there in front of me. You know what they want to do? They're going to give you the pixie dust. They're glad if you come in and just kind of fall asleep. Enjoy the special singing. Try to do some kind of a fancy little presentation. Nowadays, they're jumping on trampolines in church. They're doing all kinds of junk, man. They're doing all kinds of shows. I mean, all kinds of ridiculous, crazy, off-the-deep-end shows. Bringing camels through at Christmas time and all the rest of that stuff. Just turning it into a great big joke is what it is. It's a joke. I would hope it... Never mind. I was going to say something about the camel, but let's just stop. So he's the light bearer. He presents himself as an angel of light. So it's no marvel that it's a mystery. It's no marvel to me that he has a church. It's no marvel to me that he talks about Jesus. Just so long as you ain't getting the straight, unadulterated truth of the Word of God, the truth of the gospel, right across the plate, waist high, as clear as it could possibly be, so that you know where you're going when you die. And his ministers are a bunch of money hungry, because I showed you over there already in Isaiah, it was his merchandise. They're a bunch of money hungry dogs. That's what they're in it for, is the money. That's what they're in it for. You know, somebody told me recently, the cool thing is in the contemporary churches, and somebody who knows, the cool thing in the contemporary churches is to kind of be a dork. You ever notice that? It's like a costume. They like on purpose act goofy and wear the goofy clothes, and then they all have the same glasses on. I'm not against glasses. I have some, okay? That doesn't make you a dork. But he said they're actually not prescription lenses. They're blue light glasses, because it's like the hip thing to do to wear them. You know what? They're a bunch of imposters.
Yeah.
Why is that? Like, why do we all, like, you come into church, and like, you ever come in here and look around? You ever see the variety that sits in these pews? I hope it never changes, man. I love it. I love it. You know what I like about you? You're individuals. And you're just growing in the Lord, and you're keeping a sweet spirit, and that's how church ought to be. The Bible will make rugged individuals out of you. But you know what? This, you go into some of these places, and everybody's all like dressed the same and acting the same, and everybody on staff moves the same, and they hold their hands the same when they talk, and they all like this. It's unauthentic. There's something wrong with that spirit. And what scares me to death, is that Lucifer works in religion and presents it as light because he's the light bearer, and he likes the music. And he likes the name of Jesus, and he wants to get that name attached to himself. Let me show you. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Okay, so stay in Revelation chapter 2. So in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, we showed you that he's called Lucifer, O Lucifer, son of the morning, okay? All right, Revelation chapter 2, are you in verse 27? And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken into shivers, even as I received of my father. And I will give him the morning star, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know what the New Bibles do in Isaiah chapter 12? They call Lucifer the morning star. You know who the morning star is? and they changed that. Son of the Morning, you read it, and you know, oh, this is so much easier to understand, and you read through, oh, Lucifer, Morning Star. Don't you think that just might be some kind of a mystery of iniquity? Don't you think that might be a subtle work of the devil? Because God has a Bible, you don't think the devil wants one? You don't think the devil has one? Jesus Christ has a church, you don't think the devil has one? Jesus Christ has preachers and ministers, they're not the same. You can minister while you preach, but it's not always the same. And pastors and teachers, you don't think Lucifer has his host? And as you get farther and farther to the end and closer to the coming of Christ and the falling away, the multiplication of the false ones is going to get more and more, and the rarity of the real ones will get less and less, but God's not done yet, so the real ones are still there. And the only way you could know, it's the only way you can know. So when they start doing little things, and folks, you got to realize, in the late 1800s, the first New Bible came out, and a lot of good preachers didn't see what was happening yet. So a lot of good preachers were using a false Bible. And then as time has gone on, the thing accelerated, and this is not really a lot of history to deal with, and there aren't that many names to pull up in the last 100 years over this issue. So honestly, this is a very simple issue to research, and it doesn't take long. There's one man that God used to show us the issue and bring the issue to light. Hundreds and thousands of other men, highly educated men, recognized that truth as he taught it and began to go, yes, that's it. And it was a checks and balances. It's not a cult. It's not even close to a cult. Dr. Ruckman said himself, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm about 90-100% sure, that he said it. He said, if Gail Ripplinger had wrote her books first, I would have never had to write some of mine on the King James Bible. There is no question that that thing has been checked and balanced and checked. And now that the fruit of it has come out, some guys that don't even want to acquiesce to the position because of Peter Ruckman have been forced to take some kind of a stand. And then they like to hit the neutral area, so we believe the Textus Receptus from which the King James came. Well, getting a little closer to center, better than nothing, I guess. But I'm telling you this afternoon, the King James Bible is the inerrant, infallible, inspired words of Almighty God, and the new Bibles are the devil trying to get into churches and get into Christians and mess people up. We did it before, and I'll do it again whenever the time is right, but I had about 8 guys up here with microphones. We all opened a different version of the Bible to the same passage, and we read the same chapter, a short chapter, and everybody read it at the exact same time. And you know what it was? It sounded like a bunch of Pentecostal holiness speaking in tongues. Really. And here's the point that I made. When they got done, I said, now you know what the body of Christ all over the world is hearing. What a wise enemy you got. Boy, he's such a stinking... He's so sharp, it's frightening. If I didn't fear God, I fear God more. A man second to God, I'll lay thy hand upon him. Remember the battle, do no more. All right, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root of David and the bright and morning star. Lucifer is son of the morning. It was when all the sons of God sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. That was back before Lucifer fell, before all the devils fell. A son of God is anything God creates directly. Adam was a direct creation of God. Everything else is procreation. That makes Lucifer a direct creation of God. That makes the devils that fell a direct creation of God. So that's why he said when all the sons of God sang together, some of them stopped singing because they fell. They stopped singing the Lord's song because they fell. You know what you are? You're God's replacement. Because when you're born, your procreation, the day you got saved, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's what direct creation of God, your salvation in your soul is a direct creation of God the day you get saved. Isn't that wild? Until then, you weren't. So he can be called the son of the morning because back in that day, he was directly created by God, and there's no error in the King James Bible referring to Lucifer as the son of the morning. That's what God wanted you to know about him. What Lucifer doesn't want you to know about him is that he's not Jesus. So he puts bright in the morning star in there, and that's a name for Jesus Christ in the King James Bible. Let's finish up in this passage, and we'll stop for this afternoon. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. I hope this passage encourages you. More than anything in the world, I really want my ministry, whatever it might be, I really want it to be one of strengthening people's faith in the Word of God. Not like Dr. Ruckman did it. Nobody's ever going to replace him. I just want to be a pastor that gets you to love the Bible and believe your Bible and live by your Bible. And I want you to have that so far in your heart and soul and mind and so saturating your home life and your children and your marriage and everything else that you just fall in love with the Bible and stay in love with the Bible and get to know the Bible and trust the Bible and can't get away from the Bible. I want you just to be addicted to the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. See that? Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see how important the Bible is? Because in context, he's saying, we saw him on the Holy Mount. Wouldn't that be great? You know, he told you, you have, if you're holding the King James Bible in your hands, you know what you have right now? A more sure word of prophecy. That's your Bible. And he said, you do well. If you take heed, listen to the Bible. Don't ever doubt your Bible. That gives you the mystery number 5 and mystery number 6, mystery of Babylon the Great and the mystery of iniquity. And that mystery of iniquity is the Antichrist. That spirit's accelerating in your world. He's trying to get all of the attention of God on himself. He's going to come and show up and tell him that he is as God. Tell him that he is God and sit down in the temple saying, I'm Christ and I'm here. And no Christian, no born-again Christian that believes and knows the Bible should ever fall prey to that. Your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is based on this book, and you better make sure that you know him, that you're getting to know him, that you're drawing closer to him, that you're loving him. And if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to love your Bible. Next time we'll look at the rapture. That's the last one. And I'm looking forward to that one. I don't want to try to do it now because I'll have to be too rushed. And I don't want to rush. I want to take some time and I want to teach you on the rapture. Because that's one nowadays that's getting more and more attacked. It's very interesting to me how much it's getting attacked nowadays. I get emails and questions about that quite often. So I think it'll be a good teaching for you. There's a lot of people out there now even saying that it's the mark of the beast. You people that believe you're going to get raptured out. All kinds of weird stuff out there. Listen. Don't listen to them. Here's how they're going to get you. The word rapture never appears in the Bible. You're right. No problem. And I'm still going to teach you next week on the catching away. All right, let's dismiss in a word of prayer. Father,